You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are back on Get Up with Baseball. Game of the night last night. Yankees and Mariners on the eve of the trade deadline. Bottom of one, Yankees had runners at second and third, nobody out, and that's Anthony Rizzo visiting the seats in right. His third straight game with a home run. He's got 26 on the year. Yankees, a 3-0 lead. Bottom of two, Yanks up 3-1 with a runner on and two out. What a season Aaron Judge is having. What a career he's having this year. That's his 43rd of the season. That's 10 more than anybody else. He has 10 in his last 11 games. And the Yankees had a 5-1 lead. Then they would add two at bottom of eight. That's Jose Trevino, the second of two that he would hit on the night. Yankees add to the advantage, and they go on and win it by a final score of 7-2. But the story continues to be Aaron Judge. Look at his numbers since the All-Star game. 10 home runs in 12 games after the break. That ties Albert Bell's record for the most such games. He's also on pace at this point, Judge is, for 66 home runs, which would break Roger Maris's Yankee single-season record. It would also be the all-time American League record. And we all understand in the world in which we live, there would be some people who will argue it should be considered the overall single-season record. And we do have Jeff Passan, our insider extraordinaire, with us here as we work through some technical issues this morning. And we will get to the biggest baseball trade in a generation in a moment. But Jeff, if I could, just a quick thought on the season that Aaron Judge is having. Again, he has 10 more home runs than any other player in Major League Baseball. How would we describe what he's doing here and what is a contract year for him?
Perhaps the best walk season that we've ever seen. Going into free agency, Aaron Judge had a choice. He could have signed the 7-year, $213 million extension that the New York Yankees offered him, or he could trust himself, go and play it out, and have the kind of year he's having now. And Aaron Judge has made himself $100 million plus with this season. And a Yankees lineup without him in it just seems positively empty. So I anticipate that Aaron Judge will be back in pinstripes, if only because what do the Yankees look like without him, especially if they're not getting Juan Soto?
And to be 100% clear, he means adding $100 million to what he otherwise would have gotten.
Oh, yeah. We're talking $300-plus million vicinity at this point. No question about it.
You just mentioned the most important name, and as we reach the top of an hour here, welcome everybody. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. We are live, as always, above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. I'm Mike Greenberg. That's Jeff Passan. We'll get to the Deshaun Watson story in a moment. But we find ourselves here on the day of the baseball trade deadline, Jeff, and what will be one of the most significant trades Major League Baseball has seen in a very long time, and it should happen today. What is the very latest on Juan Soto?
The question is, will the Nationals trade Juan Soto? The answer, Greeny, is looking increasingly like yes. And it's an unfathomable thing a few weeks ago that a 23-year-old who's as good as he is, a generationally talented hitter, is going to be on the move. But we've had St. Louis, the Dodgers, and the presumptive favorites, the San Diego Padres, from the start. And there seems like momentum potentially toward a deal with San Diego. Now, remember, the Nationals had momentum toward a deal with San Diego last deadline, too, with Max Scherzer. And it ended up that the Dodgers swooped in and got him and Trey Turner. But right now, the expectation is that Juan Soto, by the end of the day, could end up in a San Diego Padres uniform.
Now, we mentioned the Padres already made one big deal yesterday. Will they make the biggest of them all today? We'll see. Quickly, while I have you, there's another big story in baseball tonight. For the Mets, their ace, Jacob DeGrom, will make his season debut. It'll be his first start in nearly 13 months. What are the expectations from the people you talk to around baseball regarding him tonight and going forward?
Greeny, it's impossible to have expectations that aren't sky high, because when Jacob DeGrom is on the mound, it's magic. He's the best pitcher in baseball. And you know, if you're going to be getting a deadline acquisition, the Mets are getting one without even having to trade for him. Now, that being said, he has not thrown a ball on a major league mound in more than a year. So the idea that he's going to come out and throw 7, 8, 9 shutout innings tonight, I don't anticipate that because, frankly, October is the far more pertinent month for the New York Mets than August.
All right, we will see. Yeah, for the first time in a long time, they're thinking October thoughts. But today, on this August 2nd, we have a lot of baseball news, and we'll be keeping a close eye on your Twitter feed all day. Jeff, thank you very much. Meanwhile, now we get to the NFL and the story that everyone across the sports world and beyond was talking about yesterday. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson will serve a 6-game suspension without pay. He will not be fined. This for violating the league's personal conduct policy following accusations of sexual misconduct. Those were the findings of the disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson yesterday. The league has until Thursday morning to file a written appeal. Let's start with the Browns coach, Kevin Stefanski.
I feel incredible empathy for anyone who's been impacted by this decision. It's something that I don't take lightly. He is working to be the best version of himself. He's committed to that. He said that publicly. He said that privately. And I believe that.
So there was, of course, enormous amounts of reaction across the sports world yesterday. The National Football League released this statement. Pursuant to the CBA, the NFL or the Players Association on behalf of Watson may appeal the decision within 3 days. In light of her findings, the league is reviewing Judge Robinson's imposition of a 6-game suspension and will make a determination on next steps. So we will see what the NFL does. In the meantime, some of the other reaction, this from the Cleveland Rape Crisis Center, a statement saying that they are disappointed by the decision, saying the 6-game suspension given dangerously mirrors the flaws in our criminal justice systems and sends a grave message to our communities. Far too often, those in positions of power and celebrity who commit violence against others are not held accountable for their actions. These ongoing headlines are triggering for so many. To survivors, we say we see you and we believe you. Your story matters. The Cleveland Rape Crisis Center is available 24/7, 365 online. And as you see there, they give the phone number 216-619-6192. So this is the football crew that we have put together on this very busy day. Damian Woody, Jeff Darlington, Louis Riddick, and Mike Tannenbaum, I will start with you. That particular response from the Cleveland Rape Crisis Center, of course, is so raw and honestly painful to read. But there was so much reaction in so many places yesterday. And as a result of that, what is your expectation about what the NFL will do next?
I believe the league will file an appeal, which is their collectively bargained right. And the league, make no mistake about it, is in a real conundrum, Greeny, because they want to empower this third-party process, which was collectively bargained, and give credibility to Judge Robinson and not handle player discipline. However, because this first case is so unique and so sensitive, with 24 women alleging misconduct at a minimum, and gauging the reaction that the league has seen for the last 24 hours, I think they're going to look at all the facts, look at the reaction, and say, we have this right that we collectively bargain, and we're going to appeal this decision of a 6-game suspension with no fine to the commissioner or his designee, at which point I would fully expect that Roger Goodell would appoint somebody to hear the appeal that the league would put on to look to add to the 6-game suspension.
So we'll wait and see. And again, they have until Thursday morning to make that decision. Jeff Darlington, we have all seen the reaction that has existed on social media and other places outside of the immediate football world. You, of course, spent the day yesterday talking to people inside the football world. What did you hear about the decision?
Well, Greeny, I sense from the football world, the football community, a very similar response as the general public, which was a little bit of confusion, a little bit of trying to wrap their minds around the idea that Deshaun Watson got a 6-game suspension for something that, DeAndre Hopkins got a 6-game suspension for a PED violation, for instance. And when you eventually, as the morning kind of played out and Sue Robinson revealed her findings, there were people around the NFL who then read those findings and say, wait a second, she agrees with the NFL that Deshaun Watson put himself in a really bad position and did things that merit and warrant significant discipline, and yet he ultimately only received 6 games. So certainly I would say the NFL community's response, while certainly I'm not surveying the entire NFL, I got a very clear picture of a lot of people feeling pretty similar to the way most of us feel.
And so for those reasons and perhaps others, I think there is a general expectation that the league will step in and take some further action, and that perhaps Deshaun Watson's suspension will be increased from 6 games. It could be to 8, it could be to 12, it could be an entire season. That, of course, is something we will have to wait and see. Damian Woody, you played in the league a really long time. What do you think the NFL should do?
Greeny, I think the NFL should appeal. I think when you look at the language that Judge Robinson used in her report, you know, particularly the word predatory, and then you look at, compare that to prior cases that we've seen in this realm, particularly as it relates to Ezekiel Elliott and Big Ben Roethlisberger. We're talking about, with those two guys, one, you know, one accuser, as opposed to 24. And when you use the word predatory, it takes it up to a whole nother level. And so I, you know, for me, I just find it hard to wrap my mind around the fact that you gave Deshaun Watson 6 games, the same amount that you, the same amount that the league imposed on Ezekiel Elliott and Big Ben Roethlisberger. It's just really hard for me to understand how you came about that decision.
We can sit here and we can make the very important point that there is a distinction between any disciplinary measure that has ever been handed down in the National Football League before this one, because those were determined by the league itself, and that this one is a new one under a new system with a new arbiter who was jointly appointed by both sides. But the reality is the entire public out there isn't keeping track of all that. They're not writing down notes. They see the very simple facts of this case and they compare them with others and they say it does not seem to make sense. I think that might very well explain what's going on here. So, Lewis, you and I spoke at great length yesterday about this, both on TV and on radio. Now you've had some more time to digest it and to sleep on it. Where do you stand on it all this morning?
Yeah, I think the judge was trying to, while at the same time acknowledging very clearly that she was extremely troubled by Deshaun's pattern of behavior, and as Damian pointed out, using the words egregious and predatory, look, this, that transcends sports right there, okay? When someone is talking about something like that, I don't care who you are, if you're an ex-football player, ex-baseball player, if you have never played sports in your life, if someone is characterizing someone's behavior as being in that way, that is going to make you take notice, and you are going to say, hey, look, okay, this person obviously needs to be held accountable. And she did, she referenced the fact that, yeah, he needs to be held accountable. And look, she took even further steps towards saying that, look, he wasn't allowed to go outside of the Cleveland Browns organization to get massages or, you know, any kind of physical therapy going forward, that he was going to be barred from doing such things. You don't do that if you don't have grave concern about someone's pattern of behavior. You just don't do that. So, look, taking all those things into consideration, yeah, it's on the surface, it's like, look, the NFL, you have to appeal this. You have to go further than this. The problem is this, though. And she kind of pointed this out, that the NFL has not been consistent in terms of applying the personal conduct policy in the past, whether it be to players and or owners, and who she referenced there in the footnotes, that the NFL Players Association used as one of their arguing points, that, look, you have not been consistent in applying the personal conduct policy and holding everyone to the same standard, and or holding ownership, people who are in positions of ownership, to an even higher standard. So how can you now all of a sudden want to course correct and say, hey, look, because of the optics of this situation and the facts of this situation, not just the optics, but because of the fact that you know there's going to be such a visceral emotional reaction, you're going to now be reactive and want to really come down hard on our client here. And see, that's where I think she kind of landed right in the middle of saying, hey, look, I understand that there's a problem here with this young man and how he conducted himself in terms of these sexual assaults, you know, nonviolent in nature, as she put it. But at the same time, NFL, you have a problem of not being more forward-thinking. Instead, you're very much so reactive in terms of your decision-making, and you need to correct that as well. And that's why I think right now, this situation now has become a big giant mess for the NFL, because now they're kind of like, I'm sure they're kind of sitting there thinking, well, as Mike alluded to, we want to allow this process to be one that is, you know, kind of the standard going forward with a third party person taking over these kind of situations. But it also looks real bad on us if we only suspend this guy for 6 games, given the fact that we see what the visceral reaction is. And we know that it wasn't going to be anything else as the facts of this case were kind of let out to the public.
And so, Jeff, then walk us through what happens next. I'm sure as all of us are sitting here waiting to see what the NFL will decide to do and when they will do it. What happens now?
Well, Sue Robinson issued her ruling at 8 a.m. yesterday, Eastern Time. So that'll give until Thursday morning for the NFL to decide the appeal. If they were to decide that, yes, we are going to appeal, and this is what's probably so confusing to people, is that Sue Robinson, the disciplinary officer, recommends or suggests to the NFL what her discipline will be. The NFL, then, if they do appeal, it goes to Roger Goodell, and Goodell ultimately decides the final binding decision. So ultimately, this is back in Goodell's hands, whatever he is to decide. Again, we should know more, I would say, before Thursday, but the NFL has until Thursday to decide whether, in fact, they are going to appeal.
And to make it 100% clear, they have till Thursday to decide whether or not they're going to appeal. That does not mean this matter will be settled by Thursday. It means they will make that decision. And then what happens, Jeff, in relatively short order, what happens then?
So I've been told that Deshaun Watson will then file suit against the NFL if the NFL were to appeal it. He will then file suit questioning the authority of Goodell to step in and overstep what Sue Robinson is saying. This will get even more complicated, though, because the CBA, which was negotiated by the NFLPA, by Deshaun Watson's union, it does specifically say that Roger Goodell has the power in the appeals process. So it will be complicated. It will be up to the courts to decide. And ultimately, we're still looking at several weeks, if not months, of questions before we really have true resolution.
That is right. We may still be at the beginning or close to the beginning of this procedure as we are to the end. In the meantime, as we continue in just a moment here, at some point, it is, I think, reasonable to say we have to try and figure out how this is going to impact the entire National Football League this season on the field. The Browns are a Super Bowl contender. What does this mean for them? We will answer those questions. Plus, just what Dak Prescott didn't need has happened. An injury to a key weapon. We'll tell you exactly how they can solve their newest, biggest problem as we get up with you on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back on Get Up. And, of course, the top story throughout the sports world, the 6-game suspension handed down to Deshaun Watson for violating the league's personal conduct policy. That decision announced yesterday by disciplinary officer Sue L. Robinson. The NFL, as we have discussed in great length this morning, has until Thursday morning to file a written appeal. And this, of course, is a story about so many other things besides football, so many things that are so much more important than football. But it is also, of course, a football story. And so, Mike Tannenbaum, we have discussed in this hour how this has impacted people away from the league, how this has impacted people across the league. Let's talk about how it impacts the Cleveland Browns organization itself. Take us inside their buildings and how they've handled this thus far and what we should expect from here.
Cree, it's very unique. They have to get 4 quarterbacks ready So start with Deshaun Watson. Assuming he misses those six games, he hasn't played a game in over 600 days. He didn't play at all last year. So you have to get him meaningful snaps in the preseason, as unusual as that may sound. Then when you look at these first six games, Jacoby Brissett has played really good football. They should win at least three, maybe four of these first six games, and that will keep them very much alive in the AFC North. So you got to get Brissett ready to go. And then you have two interesting guys behind that, Josh Dobbs and Josh Rosen, who they just acquired, Greeny. And each one of those quarterbacks has to get ready, and they're in a competition because one of those two quarterbacks is one hit away from playing in those first six games. So with everything else going on off the field, from on the field, Kevin Stefanski has to juggle four quarterbacks and have a competition for Jacoby Brissett's backup.
So, yes, there are so many different ways in which this story is different. But Lewis Riddick, the reality is, had it not been for, just from a purely from a football perspective, if that team had just upgraded from Baker Mayfield to Deshaun Watson this offseason under normal circumstances, we would be calling them a Super Bowl contender for certain. When last seen, Deshaun Watson was one of the very, very few best quarterbacks in the entire sport. But, of course, these are not those circumstances. So what are they right now? If Deshaun Watson misses six games, what are the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I think for those first six games of the season, I think it's very reasonable to expect, Greeny, for them to be probably a 500 football team coming out of that suspension, assuming that it stays at six games. And then after that, again, assuming that he is able to get ramped up pretty quickly and knock off some of the rust of having not played football for over 600 days, as Mike alluded to, you're talking about a guy who's going to be inserted into this roster that, as Hembo just pointed out to me via text, from a statistical standpoint, has the sixth highest QBR in the history of the metric. The sixth highest, behind guys like Manning and Breeze and Brady and Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that is rarefied air. So that's what you're talking about, potentially joining this football team, assuming he can regain his form that he had two seasons ago. So that instantly makes them a viable contender in the North for sure, in the AFC, and then in the AFC overall, possibly, as being a Super Bowl contender. There's no question about that. But we just don't know. There's so much unknown as to just how he is going to handle all this stopping and starting as far as his development and his indoctrination into this football team. And we don't know how the team is going to react to him once he actually gets on the field and the games are actually being played. But the prospects of it being exactly what they want are very real.
That's exactly right, Damian Woody. As we prepare for a season, the reality is this does become a football story. And for the Browns, they are preparing for their season. What do you expect from them this year? Again, we don't know what the ultimate resolution of this will be, but if Deshaun Watson winds up serving the six-game suspension as currently constituted, then what are your expectations for the Browns this year, D. Wood?
I expect the Browns to be one of the top teams in all of football. You know, Greeny, we always talk about how meaningful football really starts around Thanksgiving. And Lewis pointed out that Deshaun Watson hasn't played any meaningful football in almost 2 years. But the last time we saw Deshaun Watson on the field, Deshaun Watson was absolutely a top five quarterback that we have in the National Football League. And you combine that with the roster that the Cleveland Browns have is, in my opinion, one of the best rosters that we have in this league. So, yes, it might take some time for Deshaun Watson to kind of, get things going again. But I absolutely expect once we get to the latter part of the season, this Cleveland Browns team is going to be very, very dangerous. It's going to be a team that's going to have to be reckoned with all across this league.
It's such a complicated conversation to have right now, but it is the reality that what is going on right now is the preparation for a football season. I saw some video, Deshaun Watson at practice yesterday being swarmed by fans and signing autographs and all that sort of thing. So there's an element of this business. There it is. That's the video yesterday. These are the fans of the Cleveland Browns training camp yesterday. So the business of going about preparing for a football season continues whilst we all just 100% rightfully so have these other conversations. But, Jeff, how about it? Put a final word on all this as we will move on to other business here. What are the final things the fans should know?
Well, it's going to get more complicated as we go. I know we talk about the six-game suspension. I don't want to go all the way down the wormhole. But just remember, 5 years ago, Ezekiel Elliott had five court cases between the time that he was ultimately disciplined and the middle of the season until that suspension was finally imposed. So there was a lot that went on even after Ezekiel Elliott was ultimately suspended. That could be the same situation with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, we may be at the beginning or somewhere in the middle of a very long process, and we'll see where it lands. One thing I can promise you, we will cover it here for you. You will get the very latest as we work our way towards the start of the season. In the meantime, to other football business as we continue in a moment. He will not be ready until midseason at soonest. So why is Odell Beckham Jr. suddenly one of the most important players in the entire NFL? We'll answer that question next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back on Get Up on a busy football day. Jeff Darlington, let's run the hurry up through a bunch of news starting in Arizona.
Yeah, that's right, Greeny. Kyler Murray has tested positive for COVID-19. Now, while the league doesn't have COVID protocols really in place anymore, they did inform teams in June that anyone who tests positive must isolate for at least 5 days. So that will be the case for Kyler Murray. He won't be able to practice for 5 days. And then, of course, can get back to training again. But for now, Kyler Murray is out in Arizona. A scare averted in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes had to leave practice at one point after getting what appeared to be his foot rolled up during a 11-on-11 team drill. Ultimately went into the medical tent, got taped up. The great news here is that afterwards he said that he thinks he's going to have a pretty good bruise, but ultimately no type of sprain or anything that will hold him out of practice moving forward. Bad news for the Cowboys. James Washington on Monday suffering a fractured right foot that will sideline him for 6 to 10 weeks. This, of course, for a unit, a wide receiver unit that the Cowboys already have question marks about. Happened on Monday. He just couldn't get himself up, you see there. And now ultimately he will have to have surgery to repair that fracture and will miss 6 to 10 weeks, Greeny.
Well, it's a tough blow. And again, James Washington, you might say, well, just how important a player is he? Well, in the absence of Amari Cooper, who is no longer on the roster, and Michael Gallup, who will not be ready for the start of the season, he's a guy who would have played some role, perhaps one of some consequence. You see some of the other familiar names on your screen. And right now it's sort of CeeDee Lamb, and then who else is what I think a lot of people wonder. So, Lewis Riddick, how do we assess the way this is shaping up right now for a Dallas Cowboys team that always has huge expectations in August?
Yeah, I think it's huge, Greeny. And look, I'm not saying that James Washington was really a one or a two. I mean, really, you know, for all intents and purposes in the wide receiver room, he's probably a solid number three. But look, they don't have a number two right now behind CD. They don't have anybody. Right now, the guy who they're going to have to hang their hat on is Jalen Tolbert, the rookie out of South Alabama, who was a hell of a prospect. Big body, fast, good at contested catches, good run after the catch. But he's a rookie. Now, can rookies come in and really surprise people? Yeah, but we're not talking about a team that's just trying to be competitive. We're talking about a Dallas Cowboy football team that in the first hour, we're saying that Dak Prescott has more pressure on him than Lamar Jackson as far as needing to win a Super Bowl. And I think that would be echoed by many people across the country, that Dallas needs to win Super Bowl. Dak Prescott needs to win a Super Bowl. But he has nobody other than CeeDee Lamb on the perimeter that has proven that he can throw the football to. Then it has a trickle-down effect. Okay, we talked, you know, at length about Ezekiel Elliott and what does this year mean for Ezekiel Elliott going forward? Does Dallas go ahead and do they move on from him? Does it just become Tony Pollard's show? Is Zeke on the way out? Well, it's going to be even tougher now for him because if you're a defensive coordinator and you're looking at this wide receiver core and you're looking at what the passing game presents in terms of a threat, you're going, well, we need to shut down number 88. And after that, they have a bunch of unproven commodities because, and then we should really focus all of our attention on the running game. So it's just, everything just has gotten harder for this football team. And yeah, they have a month to figure it out until they start playing games. But you tell me, what are the viable options of in terms of people they can bring in to put on the field right now and make a difference for a football team that we're talking about as being a potential Super Bowl contender or needing to win a Super Bowl?
Well, am I ever glad you asked that question, Lewis Riddick? Because, again, this is not a program where we just point out problems. We provide solutions. And ours may not be ready week one, but it is a solution nonetheless. Tannenbaum, it was your idea. Go.
Odell Beckham Jr., the best football player on the planet who's a free agent. He is recovering from an injury, but I would go, if I was Dallas, I'm in Oxnard, California, presumably OBJ is rehabbing in L.A. Gritty, some people like ham sandwiches, some like turkey. I happen to like both. I'd go sit down, I'd have lunch with OBJ, and I would sign him ASAP. And here's why. I want to control his rehab. I want him to learn the offense so he can hit the ground running. And in all seriousness, guys, I got to think that Aaron Rodgers is reminding the Green Bay Packer front office about OBJ. And let's face it, Van Jefferson just had knee surgery yesterday for the Rams. He obviously won a title there. I'm sure they're still very much in the mix. So if I'm Dallas, there was a big sense of urgency beforehand. But as Lewis pointed out, losing James Washington, if I'm Jerry Jones, I am all over OBJ right now.
All right, so you're going to bring a deli tray and you're going to go try and recruit OBJ. That would work with Damian Woody. We would get D. Wood, I think, if we brought that over. So
that's right.
D. Wood, I mean, as of this moment, as we sit here right now, and again, I think that OBJ is going to be a hot prospect. I think there's a lot of teams that are going to have that phone number handy over the next few weeks. But as of right now, D. Wood, with the injuries and everything else, what are the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC East?
I think they're the second-best team in the NFC East, Greeny. That was my prediction even before the James Washington injury. I felt like Dallas has sustained quite a few losses via free agency and then just, some players, on that team just sliding in the wrong direction. So I think the Philadelphia Eagles are primed to make that leap and win that division. Obviously, Dak Prescott getting paid a bunch of money. I would love to see him elevate the guys around him, but I think Lewis is right. You can only sustain so much before it really actually starts to hurt. And whether you're talking about losses, losses via trade, Amari Cooper, Cedric Wilson gone in free agency, James Washington now out for a long period of time. I just don't know if the Dallas Cowboys can overcome that amount of losses on the offensive side of the football.
Now, this is a tough time for the Cowboys. August is usually their best month. And so for them, for people to be giving up on them now, imagine what happens when the months start ending in ember. That's usually when the struggles begin in Dallas. All kidding aside, Jeff, how about the Odell Beckham of it all? It's a name we haven't said in a while, but we're going to have to start saying it, I would imagine, pretty soon.
Yes, by the way, Greeny, August is their best month, is a very subtle low blow, very solid there. But look, when it comes to Odell Beckham Jr., he's in a scenario where he can be patient at this point. The injury occurred to the point where he's going to have to spend time rehabilitating. So he can even wait and see who's a real contender before he hops onto a team. He's got plenty of options on the table. The Cowboys could be one, but ultimately, if he decides late in the season the Rams are still making a run, I still think that that's the front runner ultimately for his services.
All right, we'll see where it goes. That's a receiver who's going to get paid. Let's talk about a receiver who just got paid. Because of the Deshaun Watson story breaking yesterday, we never even got to this significant signing in San Francisco. The Niners and Deebo Samuel, 3-year extension worth up to $73.5 million, over $58 million guaranteed, brings a peaceful end to what was a turbulent negotiation that saw Deebo Samuel request a trade back in April. Interesting incentives. He can earn an extra $2 million if he hits incentives for rushing. You see the numbers in there, 650 grand if he hit rushes for 380 yards. He had 365 last year. He can get $150,000 for three touchdown rushes. I think that the incentives in all this are interesting. It certainly does add to the belief that maybe the degree to which they utilize him in the running game was part of the holdup in getting his contract done. Look at the smile on their face. Why are you smiling like that, D. Wood? What is it about those incentives and Deebo Samuel that are putting that smile on your face?
You know, because it's chump change in the grand scheme of things. You know, for like Deebo Samuel, the amount of money that he got in his contract, you know, listen, it's a short contract. He'll have an opportunity to come right back to the table. But do you want all those combined touches? That's the real question if you're Deebo Samuel, because if you're getting those combined touches, that's more wear and tear on your body. And if you're trying to come back to the table in 3 years, I don't know if I necessarily want that for my career.
Well, so this may have been the crux of the issue between the two sides. One way or another, they get it done. And Lewis, how would you describe the significance of getting this deal in and getting a happy Deebo Samuel ready as you turn this team over to a very inexperienced young quarterback in Trey Lance?
I don't think you can put a dollar amount, Greeny, on Deebo Samuel's leadership and his influence on this football team, all three phases. He's the guy who leads this football team out of the tunnel. He's the guy who Kyle Shanahan says is the heartbeat of the team in terms of the pace and the tempo and the attitude with which they play. So that's on a macro level how important he is to this football team. How he affects Trey Lance in particular. Just think about it. Look, just to have him in the huddle, not just there at practice, you know, executing the sit, or rather the sit-in, or whatever you want to call it, as far as him holding out but being there, but actually being on the football field and be able to communicate with Trey in real time, as far as telling him, look, this is how I'm going to run this route, this is how I'm going to read this coverage, this is where I need the football, and just having, and then for Trey being able to say, hey, look, this, where's number 19? Where is he at? I know I can turn around and hand it to him. I can just throw it to him, let him catch it, run. Let me just see the ball go into a wide receiver's hands and then make some positive yardage. That's going to pay huge dividends for this young quarterback. So look, Deebo's the man. Just flat out, Deebo's the man. If there's any player in the NFL right now that if I could rewind 25 years and say I would not have wanted to see him back in the 90s, it's that guy. Hmm. That guy will snatch your heart away with how he plays the game. And I think that just has just absolute trickle-down effects in a positive way on that football team.
That's high praise. So, Tannenbaum, I know you were for the longest time suggesting they should keep Jimmy G, insurance policy, whatever it is. They've made it clear they're not going to do that. This is a team that was in the NFC Championship game a year ago. Are they that good again this year, Tannenbaum? Yes or no?
No, because Trey Lance is very inexperienced, and I love him long-term, but with a team that's ready to win right now, Jimmy Garoppolo gives him a better chance. Now, with that said, I agree with a lot of the intangibles that Lewis mentioned, and keep in mind, as Hembo reminded me, Deebo Samuel touched the ball 78 times behind the line of scrimmage between rushing attempts and when the ball didn't cross the line of scrimmage. So those long handoffs are a great way to get a young quarterback confidence. But with that said, at some point, Trey Lance is going to have to get the ball down the field consistently. I think he could do it long-term, but short-term, Jimmy Garoppolo gives this team a better chance to win this season.
Jeff, final word.
A little bit of context on those contract incentives. I would actually call them protections. For instance, the 380 yards that he would have to hit each year, he has never even done that. Even Deebo Samuel has not gotten 380 yards. And also, it was not necessarily a source of the contention there. This is a little bit of a perk. It's only $800,000 a year in incentives for rushing when we're talking about a contract upwards of $20 million. Last point, great job by Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. They had a guy who was disgruntled, who wanted out, and didn't even want to talk to anybody in the organization. Kyle Shanahan continued to say, we are not going to let you go. You mean too much to us. They let him feel the love for months. They ultimately won him back and got this deal done. That is not something we see in every NFL organization.
It's a really good point. I'm glad that you made it. As we wrap up that conversation, we'll take a short break as we roll on. He is the best dual threat quarterback the NFL has ever seen. Should the Ravens consider changing the way Lamar Jackson plays? Their own offensive coordinator has thoughts that you need to hear. Plus, word came out last night about what LIV Golf offered Tiger Woods to join. The numbers may astonish you. You'll hear them as we continue. And then, speaking of numbers, Sneaky Hembo is ready for D. Wood today. We got a lot of great young quarterbacks in the NFL. Here's the question. Who was the youngest quarterback ever at the time of his second MVP award? The answer's next. Get up on ESPN. Ooh.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, let's go. And on we roll. Here we go, D. Wood. Pressure on you. We got a lot of great young quarterbacks in the league. Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, both looking to win their second MVP. Who was the youngest quarterback ever at the time of his second MVP award?
Oh, man, Greeny, this one's a tough one. I want to go with Brett Favre.
That's correct. He got it right. Oh, Hembo is going to be.
Boom!
He was 27 when he won his second MVP award in 1996. Hambo needs spell check on his text, but it is ashamed one way or another. Well done, D. Wood. We were all rooting for you. In the meantime, let's talk about Lamar, who could win his second MVP and is much younger than that. He's practicing at Ravens camp. He still doesn't have a contract. After facing recent criticism this offseason for his passing ability, Ravens offensive coordinator Greg Roman had high praise for Lamar and the strides he's taken in the passing game. Listen.
He's throwing it probably better than I've ever seen him throw it. He's really worked hard in the offseason, and it's showing.
Does that open up the offense or open up the playbook anymore the way Lamar's
throwing? No, I mean, I think we got the playbook, and, you know, we probably have legitimately 20% new stuff. But what it'll do is I might call the game differently. I might call different plays, you know, that are in the playbook.
Okay, so this confuses me, Lewis, and we've talked so much about this in the context of his contract and in the context of whether or not he's a top 10 quarterback or whatever nonsense we heard in some of these anonymous quotes. The reality, as we keep pointing out, is when he starts, they win and they average 29 points a game. So my question to you is, do they need to do anything differently when we take that into account?
You know what? I think when teams really make a concerted effort to shut him down in the run game and to shut down the run game, and we don't even know how healthy the run game is going to be considering all the injuries that they had at running back, I think he needs to consistently have answers for teams that change up their coverage packages and in particular their pressure packages when they get him in obvious passing situations. So, yeah, I think that he definitely needs to continue to develop that part of his game and make it so where whenever teams get him in that kind of situation, they don't feel like they have him boxed in. It'll be interesting to see what Greg actually means as far as calling different plays, because quite honestly, I don't know if they're necessarily set up any differently to as far as their passing attack is concerned. They still don't have a bunch of, or let's just say, any proven commodities on the outside lane. Rashad Bateman obviously is the most talented, but this is a team that's very much so designed to run the football and throw the football in the middle of the field to their tight ends, which are as good as any as far as a group is concerned in the NFL. So I don't know if they really can change. I'm sure they will allow him to go ahead and throw the football more. And they should allow him to throw the football more because when he gets into a groove, he's as good as any quarterback in the NFL. I just don't know if that's the best way to utilize the talent that they have on this football team as it's presently constructed.
What do you think, D-Wood? Do they need – the question's perfect on the screen. Do they need to emphasize the passing game more this year?
No, I don't think they need to emphasize it more because it takes away from the uniqueness of Lamar Jackson and how they structure that offense. I think, you know, what Lewis alluded to is right. I think, you know, we always talk about threatening every blade of grass on the field, particularly on the outside. They're very inexperienced on the outside. And so I think from a defensive coordinator's perspective, if you're not able to threaten all areas of the field, then they can hone in on what you do. And we know that the Baltimore Ravens love attacking between the numbers. If they can continue to attack more outside the numbers, it just makes them that much harder to defend as an offense. So Lamar Jackson, I think people need to understand, Lamar Jackson is still a very young quarterback that's still developing at the position. So he's still a really good passer, but just continue to develop in outside of the numbers. That's where you can expand this offense.
Yeah, and again, I will repeat, oh, by the way, he still doesn't have a contract extension for the season. We'll see where that goes. Guys, awesome today, as always. I could continue on this, but right now I insist we talk about golf. Because speaking of a whole bunch of money and turning it down, in an interview that aired last night, the CEO of LIV Golf, which is Greg Norman, confirmed that Tiger Woods turned down between $700 and $800 million to join the LIV Golf Invitational Series. Tiger's actually been among the most outspoken supporters of the PGA Tour during its ongoing battle with LIV Golf for the best players in the world. But again, confirmed now, turned down between $700 and $800 million. All right, there's no Leagues Cup this year because of scheduling issues, but there's five Leagues Cup showcase matches highlighted by this opening doubleheader between MLS and Liga MX teams tomorrow on ESPN and the app. You got the LA Galaxy taking on Chivas at 8 Eastern, followed by LAFC and Club America, both matches at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. As we continue, we give way to First Take at the top of the hour. Deshaun Watson's suspension announcement is 24 hours old. How has this situation been handled so far? Dominique and Damian Woody will let you know. First Take follows us at the top of the hour here on ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Tonight at 6 Eastern on ESPN, as the MLB trade deadline passes, SportsCenter is live with the fallout and reaction to all the deadline deals, including the future of superstars Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani, and full analysis of which teams emerged as World Series contenders. A special MLB trade deadline edition of SportsCenter. Tonight, 6 Eastern on ESPN.
Now we're down to two teams. The basketball tournament championship game, Blue Collar U, made up of mostly former Buffalo players, takes on Americana for Autism, a team with three players with autistic children who continue to raise autism awareness. They square off for a winner-take-all $1 million prize tonight, 8 Eastern on ESPN and the ESPN app. All right, we finish where we began. Our biggest story of the day, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, set to serve a 6-game suspension without pay. He will not be fined for violating the personal conduct policy. That was the decision announced yesterday by disciplinary officer Sue Robinson. The league has until Thursday to file a written appeal. And as we wrap it up here with Mike Tannenbaum and Jeff Darlington for today, Mike T., you told us earlier it is your expectation that based on any number of different factors, that the league will indeed appeal this decision.
Exactly, Greeny. And again, context is important. This is a collectively bargained right that the league and the union both have. So the league's not doing anything extraordinary. They're just simply exercising their right. Where it gets complicated is this intangible of trying to establish a third-party process with former federal judge Robinson and establishing her credibility as it relates to discipline for players. So my expectation is by Thursday morning, they will indeed invoke their right to appeal to the commissioner or his designee.
How about it, Jeff? From the people you talk to, your expectation and where it all goes from here?
Yeah, it will be a fascinating 48 hours to see what the league decides, because ultimately, if they decide not to appeal, we know exactly what it is. It's a 6-game suspension. Should they appeal, though, we're going down quite the rabbit hole. I'm told that Deshaun Watson's people do plan on filing suit. So, of course, as we've seen with Tom Brady, Ezekiel Elliott, and Adrian Peterson, this has a long, long way to go.
Yeah, they could be just the beginning of a whole new process here and a whole new procedure. And we'll wait and see. The reaction to this has been extraordinary for any number of obvious reasons. And it is a football story that has elements to it that are obviously about so much more than football and things more important than football. Guys, awesome today. Thank you. Thank you for getting up with us. We will see you back and better than ever tomorrow. First Take starts now.